Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Live from the In Wheel Time studios in Sugar Land, Texas.
You forgot where you were?
I did. It is the In Wheel Time car show. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we're glad that you made it. We're going to have stories making automotive news headlines this week. We've got a couple of other features that we're going to bring to you. And we're also going to talk to the Cadillac Alante car club. Remember the Alante?
Oh, yeah.
There's a club. Apparently, there's more than one.
Yep.
Still left.
Oh, there's quite a few
of them. Well, apparently there are. And I didn't know that. And so we're going to delve into that. Thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday after the American League Championship Series. And the Houston Astros are
shutout victory, Beantown.
Woo! I heard. You know, didn't the Yankees lost what in getting into this?
This past summer?
Right.
No, they've lost. They've been losing.
Well,
for a long
time. Do you know what
time.
The difference is between a hot dog at Minute Maid Park and a hot dog in Yankee Stadium?
I don't know if I want to ask.
You can still get a hot dog in October.
Oh,
no.
And you can use that anywhere that
anywhere you
like
want. Though. Yeah, I stole it, so you can steal it.
At any rate, so we wanted to talk to John Maida. We got a hold of John, and John is a member of the Cadillac Alante Car Club. John, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
I love
you. Did you stay up last night, or are you not a baseball fan?
I did stay up, yes.
Well, even if you're not a baseball fan, I think that everybody really stayed up last night
just to
see what was going on. I mean, I'm kind of a passing, so to speak.
Passive
baseball fan, but I really did get excited last night. I'm sure you did, too.
It was Houston.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're all for Houston. So, John, Cadillac Alante Club, how long have you had an Alante?
I had my Alante for 30 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Behind me.
Wow. Well, it's beautiful. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about the Alante, because I think that a lot of people really don't know too much about the Alante. It wasn't made very long.
Right. This was GM's attempt to bring Cadillac into the sport age, and they wanted a roadster to compete with the Mercedes-Benz 450, 500 series, and the Jaguar convertible at the time. And so they teamed with Pininfarina out of Italy, and in Torino, Italy. And at the end of the day, oops, upside down. At the end of the day, I'm not sure if you can see this reflection here, but that's a Testarossa Ferrari, and then those are Alantes on the same assembly line in the Pininfarina plant.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Can you see that?
Yeah. Yes, we see it. Yes.
All right. This is circa. So this particular assembly line took the place of the Fiat Spider, if you remember that. And its last production year was 1985. And the Alante for 87, the first introduction, the first model year, was put into production 86. And it produced from 1986 to 1993 was the last year. So about a seven-year production run. They produced about 21,000 of these units, give or take a few. Who cares? I'm a scientist. I'm not going to give you an exact number. But there was quite a bit of media hype, and Cadillac invested over $1 billion. It was an amazing amount.
Wow.
But this was their new. This is this text here is the press conference text, just showing what they had to do with the 747 jets to bring the bodies without engines to the Hamtramck from Torino, Italy, to the Hamtramck, Michigan plant to marry it with a GM powertrain. It's a transverse mounted V8 system, front wheel drive. But the cars, when they came out, this roadster was MSRPing at $55,000. I don't know if you can see that or not.
Yeah, which is a ton of money back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went up to $65,000 for the North Star year, the first year. That was 1993. So today, to build this car in this fashion with this 4,000-mile air bridge, the longest production line of any automobile, would probably put it in the $120,000 to $150,000 range on the showroom floor today, maybe close to $150,000, just because what went in it. It has aluminum parts. Behind me, you can see the hard top. They all came as soft tops, and the hard top was optional, but that's an aluminum hard top, about 60 pounds, similar to the Benz of the time. You'd take it on and off. It wasn't a folding unit. The soft top is a German fabric. The seats are Austrian leather seats, Recaro seats. And, of course, this is a pearlescent white tricoat or so. But the hood and the trunk are aluminum. The sides are steel. And the car is fairly light, and she goes very good. And big trunk, and we enjoy it. Great for antiquing. We have regular caravans. There are groups, not really cult groups, but we are party groups, and we just go around the countryside like you'd have a set of bikers, but instead we're convertibles, and we'll small groups, and we tour around the environs, and there are some fairly large meets. But these folks that keep these cars are very dedicated. And we're trying to keep them as stock as possible in most cases.
Hey, John, why didn't this car succeed for Cadillac?
Say that again.
Why didn't this car succeed for Cadillac?
Complexity, I believe. The buyer at that time was a Cadillac buyer, and Cadillac buyers were typically your older crowds. And the top on it was as a pseudo manual. Automatic motor top. There were two phases of the top. There was a phase one, which I have here, with the conventional latches that we had in the 60s and 50s. And then there's the phase two top that had some front screw motors for the windshield and back. And it was not a one button getaway thing. This was a complex folding mechanism. That was one issue that I could see the largest issue of complexity. And but there are thousands of parts in the cars. Four 80s era computers with microprocessors from the 80s. Speed dependent damping. It tells you what light bulb is out through a current sensing mechanism. It just all sorts of features. Run home mode. If your engine's overheating, it'll switch to four cylinders. That sort of thing. It was. Very complicated, a lot of sensors. So if you're into electronics and you want something challenging,
Oh, that was so advanced at the time when they released. I was working for General Motors at the time and actually spent time at Hamtramck. We were building Oldsmobiles, but alongside it, the Elantes were getting their separate assembly line, assembly process. You know, a lot of new things on that car were brought to the industry. That was Cadillac's first foray into tri-coat painting or the pearl paint. Cadillac also originally had a guarantee of value, used car value of it, that was tied to the Mercedes SL class.
Right.
That
right.
They were going to guarantee the used car value to hold the same percentage
yes.
as the S class.
John, were there any real problems with the car over the years that they discovered once they started building it? Engine problems, transmission, anything like that?
About like recalls?
Well, at first, at first there were no issues, but we did start seeing some issues at 15 years out or so. The early aluminum blocks. And the need to change your coolant in these aluminum blocks. You don't want to leave your coolant there sitting around, and you want to drive the cars. And but other than that, I mean, folks put a lot of money into their engines. Okay, let's just face it. Let's all, you know, in this group. Okay, you're going to have to service things like engine. There's there's a lot of chemistry going on there, aqueous chemistry, and oil leaks. I mean, it's Cadillac's transverse V8. These had there were three different engines. The 4.1 was the first model year for 87, 88, and then they transitioned to the 4.5 liter. Which had a larger intake organ pipe system on it to give it a little more horsepower compared to the Seville and the Eldorado at the time. That went from 89 to 92. And then in 93, they introduced the first generation Northstar 32 valve system.
And that really, that to me, that was the pinnacle of Elante when they finally put the North Star in it, because the HT4100 and the HT4500, they had their issues as an engine regardless of what Cadillac you put them in. But the North Star, having just been out, was a perfect fit for that car because it gave it power, performance, and technology.
Yes. Yes. It gives maybe 75 more horsepower. So it is quick. The 93 is a quicker car, a faster car. But there are other things you can do we won't talk about today that you can equally make them quick. But
hey, John,
again, it's all about stock and keeping them stock.
John, a couple of times you mentioned the air bridge assembly line. I don't know that everybody understood exactly what you were talking about. Could you kind of touch on that a little bit more?
Right. So there were two commissioned 747 jets that were would fit 56, I believe, empty
Elante bodies,
finished cars, which you see here on the production line at Pininfarina with the Ferrari. Those have no engines in them. Okay, so these have no engines, but they're fully fitted with all the European parts, German door struts, hinges, tops, seats,
interior, and everything,
and painted with the Italian paint. And then they would go over into those 747s. And as I showed you here, and I don't know where that picture, Alitalia and Lufthansa,
right,
there were two that they were commissioned to bring them over to Hamtramck, Michigan. And they would drop them here. They'd go onto the assembly line to receive the underbody suspension and front end drivetrain, and then parts that go into the cockpit. American Electronics, General Motors Electronics went into this car. This is just Pininfarina. It was just a coach builder.
Right.
Those parts would go flying back on that 747 to Torino, Italy, to be incorporated in the next shipment.
Man, not a very cost-efficient way of building a car.
No, and that was part of why the car was as expensive as it was. But one of the things Cadillac really promoted was the Pininfarina production process of it, and this air bridge was all quite a bit of their advertising.
John, let's talk about the car club itself. How many members and how many cars are in the Cadillac Elante car club?
Well, at the peak, I mean, it started out as the Elante Appreciation Group in 1993, 1994, the last production year. And again, they were having issues with guaranteeing the value with respect to the Jaguar and the Benz. And so it became an act or a mission to maintain the value of these vehicles. And we had about 3,000 to 5,000 members back then.
Wow.
And I was commissioned from the Florida lead at that time to do something for Southeast Texas in the Houston area. I'm in Houston, and I did, and that was in 94. And then there were some other support groups that came up. We have Tom Rohner and his group out in San Diego, and Johnny Monzo in Sewell, New Jersey. And then we have Dick Hussey out at Elante Source in Florida. And we have our parts teams, and there's a large group in Chicago. But right now, count is down. The issue I see is trying to attract the younger crowd, and it's really a graying community that loves these cars, and basically that happened with the old Caddies as well, and that didn't really brighten up for the old Caddies until the children of those first owners decided they want or when they grew up, the children of, you know, finally grew up into their 60s, they buy these 40, 50s Caddies, for example.
Mm-hmm. John, I got a question. Where can I get one of these today, and what would I expect to pay for one of these?
Oh, the range is all over the place. It really is. I've seen some on auction blocks that they're asking in believe it or not, for low mileage, in the 30s, and down to
$1,500.
Our best offer down at 3,000. So you've got the low cost ones that you're going to find are going to be, you know, something's wrong with the engine or something's wrong with the braking system. Some sensors are out.
But it just so happens that we know somebody that's in a club that can help us get all that fixed.
You.
Well, right. So I mean, and so we compete a bit. I put this in shows a bit, but I mean, I've put I've got 130,000 miles on.
Oh, wow.
It's been garaged. I retired it in 2005, but I'm an avid Cadillac driver. Those are my commuter cars, but I can't keep this on the freeway with the Houston traffic, tires, roads, smoke, rocks. You know, you don't want that.
What year is it?
It's a 90. This is a 90.
Perfect.
So that's a 4.5 or 4.1?
It's a 4.5.
4.5, okay.
And so and the tranny, all of it's original. It's just been a wonderful vehicle. I've used Mobil 1 synthetic throughout. This particular model, the few model years around this era here, starting in 90, 91, they had a 100,000 mile warranty on it with $25 bumper to bumper. So I was at McGinnis Cadillac, you know, a couple few times a year, $25. I get a gold car to drive away, not gold, but you know, a DeVille. It was really, they took care of us. That was some of that money that you spent on it was the service that you were going to
Right.
You paid your service up front, right? And that's with most luxury cars. You pay your service up front, you know.
No, totally agree. One of the greatest lines I ever heard when we were at Hamtramck and we were dealing with some water leak issues, and they brought in a couple of engineers from Pininfarina to talk to the engineering group that was there. And the guy said, it's not, and I can't do it in the Italian accent, but he says, it's not really a water leak if it doesn't get the driver wet. Right. And I'm sitting there going, and this guy was dead serious.
I was told, in Houston, and you know it's wet here, right, relative to certain parts of Italy, and it used to drip, and I'd get so upset it dripped right on the window switch, you know, for the rolling the windows up and down, and so the fix was silicone grease and in the seams of the convertible top, but we know that all convertibles leak.
Right.
Or let moisture in. And that's one reason for the hard shell on the back, but it's just not, it's great if you're in the northern latitudes, but down here in the south, we like our convertibles all year round.
So, John, all your club members over there, where are we going to see all of these club members' cars in one event? When is that coming up?
Well, there was one recently. These are national events. We went to Nashville. We had, you know, 50 or 60 cars in Nashville. I don't know if you can see that. And then they just had one up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then a few years ago, we had them. It was inducted actually into the famous Gilmore Museum.
Oh, yeah.
If you look that up. I was up there a few years ago in 2018. And here it is here. It turned 25 years old. The 93 turned 25 years old in 18. And that's the new Cadillac Museum front window at the Gilmore. And if anyone ever gets a chance to fly into Chicago or Grand Rapids or Detroit, you want to go to Kalamazoo, just north of there. That is a wonderful museum. Lincoln, just an awesome, awesome museum set. The setting is in a cornfield with barns everywhere, and you've got Packards. It's just, anyway.
You know,
and they do a lot of car shows up there, invited club shows, because I know the Oldsmobile Club goes there with some regularity.
And I do have to point out how much we appreciate your mechanical slideshow this morning. It works really well.
Awesome.
And we truly appreciate all your effort.
I think there's something dripping from the front.
Oh, there might be something dripping from the front. No, well, I actually have some pans under it.
Oh, so, that's what it is.
You always have to have pans, but you know, this is one of the Roadster magazines that come out a four-time quarterly or so, put on by Tom Rohner in San Diego. So we have our support teams, and on the back there's the for sale. You know, there's a bunch of stuff for sale. So you can go to Elante.com. There's the Cadillac Elante Club of America. Elante Club of America, Cadillac Elante Club. There's several of them. You can look at them on the web. And wonderful support team from Tom Rohner, Johnny Monzo, and Dick Hussey.
Well, John, I tell you, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you this morning. I had no clue that there would ever be a Cadillac Elante Club, but now.
I love
and
it.
A passionate
I
group
love
of
it.
Owners.
I know.
No,
I'm impressed. So,
love
John,
that.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
Let's
you.
Stay in touch and let us know your next event.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate
that's
you.
Cool.
It is very cool. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. Just shoot us an email. Our address here at the In Wheel Time Car Show is info@inwheeltime.com. We do take complaints, and those go directly to that info@inwheeltime.com, and we all share it amongst each other, and we try to make amends, not But I just wanted to bring that up. Okay, time now for some of the stories making automotive news headlines this week.
Karen.
Let's go, Brandon.
By the way, speaking of that, I saw on the internet today where all of these internet companies are going, you're not going to be able to get away with that. We'll zip you off. And
Did you hear what was at the end of game five? The after show interview of the Astros victory.
No, I didn't tell me.
Well, they had, you know, Big Poppy and stuff is there, right. and they're screaming the other version of "Let's Go."
Yeah,
And in
behind
the background,
Big Poppy.
Yeah,
that's too funny. Well, I think that they're going to have a real problem on national broadcast. Anyway,
I'm not a fan.
We've got some recalls to tell you about today.
Of course.
Infiniti's apparently had a problem from 2014 through 2017 at HPCM software. Hmm. What exactly is HPCM?
I'm not real sure. PCM is powertrain control module.
Okay, it's hybrid power, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Hybrid powertrain control module.
May cause loss of drive power.
Could be happening.
Well, that would be a little problem, wouldn't it? Yeah. Call the wrecker.
And you'd have thought just your battery ran dead.
Oh.
QX60 hybrid, Murano hybrid, and Pathfinder hybrid from 2014 through 2017. All of these recalls that I'm going to tell you about, you'll just need to go to safercar.gov. Mm-hmm. And on there, you type in your VIN number, which you'll find on your insurance card. And it will tell you what the recall is. And then it's up to you to get your car into the shop and get it repaired for free.
Yep.
Driver's airbag inflator may explode on the Buick Enclave from 2008 to 2017, along with the Chevy Traverse 2013 through the 2017 model year.
That'd wake you up.
Deactivated front passenger airbag on the Mercedes-Benz S500 and S580 for the 2021 model year. Porsche Taycan, it has a problem, and that is incorrect activation of hazard lights.
Hmm. That's their fully electric four-door.
It's like, what? What? 2020 to 2021 model years. Volvo recalling almost 307,000 older models globally for potentially defective driver's side airbags after a ruptured incident reported that it resulted in a death.
Hmm.
Recall affects certain V70 and XC70 vehicles from 2001 to 2008 model years. I bring it up because this is certainly an older recall.
That's,
are you getting comfortable over there?
Yeah, yeah.
2001 to 2008, that's an older car.
Yeah, exactly. Also, there's a recall out for the S80 sedan, 01 to 06, and the S60 sedan from 01 to 09 model years. This was a disturbing story. Did you any of you guys watch or get Netflix?
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there is a series on called Made, and it's about an abusive relationship. This guy mentally battered his young bride. It's disturbing, and why I continued to watch it, I don't know, because it made me uncomfortable. It, you know.
Why are we bringing it up?
Well, I bring it up because Lyft.
Don's disturbed.
We knew that.
Because Lyft, you know, the rideshare company, received reports of more than 4,000 instances of sexual assault on its ride-hailing platform between 2017 and 2019. Detailing the data in a safety report it had promised to publish about 2 years ago, the company report issued late on Thursday showed sexual assault reports on its platform had increased from around 1,100 in 2017 to some 1,800 in 2019, but it said bookings increased at a higher rate during that time. Well, that'll solve the problem, resulting in a 19% drop in the overall incident rate. Not really. They were basing it on how many rides they gave
between each assault.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
The company said it has invested in safety features, employed rigorous driver background checks, and consulted sexual assault experts. Apparently,
that's creepy.
It is creepy.
That's real creepy.
So that's why I bring up the Maid thing, because it deals with all of that. And so, you know, especially if you have a daughter that uses a hailing service. It's disturbing, and just make sure that she goes with friends and is careful. I have daughters, and that's why I bring that up.
I have a daughter, and this past week, my daughter celebrated a birthday. So happy birthday. I'm not going to say the young lady's age because that wouldn't be correct. I know her age. I had to figure it out. I needed a calculator. But happy birthday, Laura.
Happy birthday, Laura. We're probably not going to sing, and you'll be happy for that.
We'll sing to you later.
Yes, and Lord knows what.
After the tequila.
And we don't know exactly what we'll be singing because we never know stuff like
that.
We
will see you at dinner later. That'd be great.
Yeah, at any rate. All right. Well, that's it for this hour of In Wheel Time. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Hour number two starts right after this quick break.
Houstonian-owned Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has the most sought-after models in the Houston area today. When you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, you now have a place to go. Bayway will beat any competitor's written price on the new vehicle you choose or pay you $1,000. Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is easy to get to on Highway 225 near the Beltway in Pasadena. Whether it's online or in person, you'll be welcomed like one of the family. Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.com. Tailpipes and Tacos, Houston's premier monthly cruise-in, will return Saturday, December 18th to the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy. Tailpipes and Tacos wants to thank all of the participants and fans who have enjoyed the collector cars, hot rods, customs, originals, and resto mods, and everything in between. We'll be taking a break for Thanksgiving and Autorama, but we'll be back for a great Christmas cruise-in on December 18th, so make plans now. You know that Tailpipes and Tacos is the Houston area's coolest cruise-in, a place you'll see friends, family, and the finest cruise-in cars in the Houston area. It all happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard just south of I-10. Get your ride ready for a very special Christmas cruise-in, Loopy style. It's Tailpipes and Tacos, Saturday, December 18th. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show will be there, too. Let's celebrate the Christmas season together at the next Tailpipes and Tacos on December 18th. We'll see you then, weather permitting. Gulf Coast Auto Shield has moved to a more convenient location. Now you can visit John Gray and his staff of dedicated professionals at their new shop on the South Sam Houston Parkway between Belford and Airport in Southwest Houston. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is the best at paint correction and ceramic coatings. Clear bras and custom wraps are specialties that only Gulf Coast Auto Shield installs with award-winning accuracy, and all their services come with a warranty. Lamborghini, Aston Martin, Porsche, and Ferrari owners depend on Gulf Coast Auto Shield for their specialty services, and you should too. The In-Wheel Time Corvette and Cutlass have both been massaged by Gulf Coast Auto Shield, so isn't it time your vehicle visit their new shop in Southwest Houston? Call John Gray today at 832-930-5655 or visit online at gcautoshield.com. That's gcautoshield.com. Paint, coatings, wraps, and more at gcautoshield.com.
That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartPodcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.